Romans 12:14, bless them that which persecute you, bless and curse not. Let's read that together. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Amen. That's in the Word of God tonight. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Praise the Lord. The word bless there means to thank or to invoke a benediction upon, to bless or to speak well of. That's a tall order tonight. Amen. That's in the extreme, but everything from the extreme on down is the will of God for us. Amen. And I just going to preach what I feel like the Lord gave me. Give blessings and receive blessings. We all want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But the only way that we can really truly be blessed is to bless. The only way that we can have friends is to be friendly. So what we give is what we receive back. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the truth. I ask you to lay your hand upon the remainder of this service. Touch us with your holy word. We give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. Praise God. You know, we often speak of giving when we talk about money or we talk about the work of the Lord, when I think a lot of times we're cheating ourselves out of other blessings that the Lord wants to give to us. Amen. Serving the Lord is not just giving of your money and of your time. Amen. But really the Scripture tells us that what we sow is what we reap. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jesus said, with the measure that you met out, it will be measured back to you again. And so there is a corresponding, a reciprocation of blessings or whatever it is that you're talking about. If we sow with our tithes and our offering, the Bible says that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Amen. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Press down, good measure, press down, shaken together, and running over. And so there is something that comes back to us when we give. Amen. That's why it's so important when we come to the house of God that we give of him of our worship and our praise. Praise God. Because the Bible talks about the praises of God. I want God to praise me. Amen. Not in the sense that I am God and he praises and worships me, but in the sense that he speaks well of me. Amen. That he has good words to say about me. Amen. And I want that. I need that. We all need that in our lives. And I desire tonight to be blessed of the Lord. And so in order for me to bless the Lord, be blessed of the Lord, I must bless the Lord. And the Bible says I must bless others. Praise God. We're going to look at this here tonight because there is an accuser that stands in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. That is awesome right there. I can't wait to hear that loud voice in heaven. Amen. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. That's what we need in the church. That's the kind of victory that we need when we come together and we worship God and we serve God. Amen. And it says, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And so there is a real accuser that does not seek to bless, but he seeks to curse. But the scripture says, bless and curse not. And so what we can do tonight and what the Bible has given us here is an avenue to be blessed. It is an avenue to go beyond just living for God and just being a church member. Amen. It goes to the place where we can be really blessed of God if we will, A, bless God, and B, we will bless others. Amen. And so we've got to resist the devil. And the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Too often we look at that and we say, well, that's a spiritual encounter and we resist the devil. I'm telling you, there's more to it than just a spiritual encounter with the forces of darkness. And I know what that's all about. Some of you know what that's all about. And there are times in prayer when you wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. All you have to do is go somewhere and start a church where there has never been a church, and you're going to fight devils. Amen. Because there are princes, the Bible calls us, or calls them the principalities and powers. A principality is an area that is ruled by a prince. Amen. We have those in America. Certain principalities, they actually call them that. And it is an area that has rulership and so on and so forth for taxes and ordinances and all of that. And it's the same in the realm of the spirit. Praise God. I'm going to make it through this tonight. But it's more than just making it through this. We've got to get a hold of this. Because it is more than just a spiritual encounter with the forces of darkness, but we've got to understand where the enemy works, amen, and what he desires to do. We've got to be careful when situations arise. The Bible says that we should bless and curse not, and it says that the accuser's focus, it is on the brethren. Praise God. It is upon the brethren. Look to your left and look to your right. Look in front of you and look behind you. That's your brethren. Amen. That's the brothers and the sisters in the church. That is the people of God that are striving to go to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven tonight? That's why we're here. We're striving to make it all the way to the very end. Amen. It's not about accomplishments, but it is about our relationship with God, a deep relationship of prayer, a relationship of fasting, a relationship of drawing near to God. Amen. And striving until we reach that place. Amen. Striving. Strive to enter in, the Bible says. For many shall try to enter in, but they will not be able to. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to make my way into heaven. And I hope you have as well. But too often we look at this as a spiritual encounter when in reality the devil uses people. And I'm not here tonight to make out anybody as a devil. That's not my intention at all. And so let's just get that straightened out here. Over the years, I have come to realize that the devil uses people and they don't even know that he's using them. Amen. He accuses. He says things. He brings up things. He says that it is this and so or thus and so. And I have come to understand over the years that whatever I hear is not necessarily the truth because I heard it. And it's not necessarily the truth because it's on the internet. It's not necessarily true because of this, that, or the other. I have come to realize that that the devil is a liar, and he will sow an accusing spirit within a body, amen, to discredit and to discourage and to cast down and to take away confidence in the church. I believe tonight that we've got to have confidence in the church. We've got to have confidence in the ministry. We've got to have confidence in one another, amen, and we have to learn how to treat one another, amen. We've got to learn that there is one way that is better than any other. The Bible says there are three things that abide: faith, hope, and charity. And charity is love. Charity does not vaunt itself. Charity does not accuse. Amen. But charity believes. Amen. It goes the second mile to believe that somebody, the goodness in other people. Praise God. Some of our great leaders in our country that probably did not even know God. Abraham Lincoln was asked one time about a political opponent who was running him down and casting him down with his words. And they asked Abraham Lincoln, they said, what is your impression of that individual? And he began to heap praises upon that person. And they said, you feel that way about him? They said, don't you know what they're saying about you and the condemnation they're heaping upon you? And he responded and said, you asked me how I felt about him, not how he felt about me. Praise God. There was a man that was free from bitterness in his heart. There was a man that was free to say exactly what he felt. Amen. And I'm telling you what tonight, if we love God and we're living for God, amen, we need to understand what it means to love one another and to bless one another. Praise God. Because if we curse, we're not going to get anything good. But if we bless, then we're going to be blessed. And if we curse, then it might be that there would be a curse that would come back to us. Amen. But Jesus came that we could be free, free from the curse. Amen. Free from the curse of sin. Free from the condemnation of sin. Free from the feeling that there's no hope for me. And I just feel it here tonight. I feel like somebody feels in your heart, there's no hope for me. But I'm here to tell you, there is hope for you. Amen. There's a whole lot more than just hope. Praise God. There's a beautiful future. Amen. There's a beautiful future for the church. There's a beautiful future for your family. Amen. Why? Because God is for us. God is for us. Amen. And this idea that holiness is a method or a way to condemn others is completely out of sync with the Scriptures. Amen. Because the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. True holiness is not what you wear. Amen. True holiness is not the things that you don't do. Amen. But true holiness is purity of mind and spirit. Real true holiness is when you can get along with others. Well, praise God. And then all the other things, the dress and the outward areas of holiness are a result of relationship. They're not a result of commandments, amen, because the devil comes up with all sorts of new things over time. And if we try to chase him, we're going to be chasing him instead of winning souls to God. What we need to be is reaching out to people and blessing them with the Word of God. Amen. Blessing them with a compliment. Well, praise the Lord. Giving them a word of encouragement to strengthen them. Praise God. Paul talked about edification. And the word edify means to build up. Praise God. Some folks got the idea that in order to be holy, you got to tear everything down around you. I'm telling you tonight, God did not call us to tear things down around us. There's a time to build and a time to tear down. Amen. But that's God's work. That's not our work. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The wheat and the tares grow together. Amen. And those that don't have the concept of blessing are willing to go out and pull up the weeds. And even if it destroys some of the wheat, I'm telling you what, every single individual is precious in God's sight. Every one of you here tonight are precious. Well, praise the Lord. You're precious in God's sight. You're important to God. He went to Calvary for you. Amen. Why? So that you could be blessed. Amen. Well, I don't feel blessed. It doesn't have anything to do with feeling tonight. But it has everything to do with the Word of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, praise the Lord. I'm feeling something here tonight. And I know the Lord gave me this. Praise God. But there is an enemy of our soul, an enemy of the church. Amen. It's in the world. It's in the devil. It's in our flesh. Amen. Those three areas that we're all going to deal with, the world, the devil, and the flesh. You're going to deal with that. And when you get the Holy Ghost, some of the things that you deal with in your flesh are still going to be there. Praise God. You're not going to become an angel when you get the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. One of our kids around here, I forget which one it was, got the Holy Ghost and got in trouble about a week later. And we're praying for refilling. Amen. And I'm telling you what, we need a refilling. Praise the Lord. Every one of us need a refilling. Your pastor needs a refilling. You need a refilling. We can't just have church. We can't just come together and go through the motions. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. We've got to be refilled over and over and over again, because this old flesh will rise up and try to take you back and try to take you away from the blessings that God has. In a very subtle way, your flesh is trying to destroy you. The world will destroy you. The devil will destroy you. He is the destroyer. He's not the blesser. Oh, he'll give you something tantalizing. He'll give you something that you think is going to make you feel good and bring you happiness. But it always brings corruption. Amen. Like an old rusted car out in the field. That's where the devil, that's his plan for your life, is for you to be out in a field somewhere all rusted and corroded and worthless, ready for the junk pile. Amen. But I'll tell you what God has for you. Amen. He calls us kings and priests. Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with him. There's a great future for the child of God. Yes, there's going to be battles. Yes, there's going to be trials. But we've got to, well, praise the Lord. We've got to be sensitive to that which blesses and that which curses. And we've got to get rid of that which curses. And we've got to adopt that which blesses. Praise the Lord. Because I want to be blessed. And not only do I want to be blessed, I want you to be blessed. And it doesn't bother me when you're blessed. I don't get upset when you're blessed. Amen. I want you to be blessed. I want all of us to be blessed of the Lord. And we are blessed of the Lord. Numbers chapter 22. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here tonight, but Numbers 22. Very familiar story for any Bible student. And it says, Numbers 22 and verse 1, and the children of Israel went forward and pitched in the plains of Moab. We heard Brother Green talk about Moab when Ruth, Naomi, and her husband and her sons went to Moab. Remember that scripture? Remember that story? Same place. And they pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. So they hadn't got to the promised land yet. They were still going through the wilderness of this world, which is really a Bible picture of where we're at tonight. We're not at the promised land yet. But we're going there, and we're going through the wilderness of this world, and as we go through, we run out of water sometimes. As we go through this life, we run out of food sometimes, not necessarily in America, but spiritually I'm speaking tonight. And it's a type and a picture of that in the Scriptures. And so we haven't made it yet. And so as we travel through this wilderness, there are things that are devised against us. And we don't even know it. There's an accuser in heaven tonight, standing before the Lord, accusing you, calling your name out. So that person's no good. Why do you even fill them with the Holy Ghost? And accusing and putting down and criticizing and condemning. Amen. And so behind the scenes, here something is taking place. Israel's on their way to the Promised Land. They're all rejoicing and they're happy and they're excited. But I'll tell you what, they're not perfect either. The Bible says they're a stiff-necked people. The Bible says that they were a rebellious people. And in fact, the generation that we're talking about here did not even make it to the Promised Land. They were so rebellious and they were so filled with their own ways that they did not make it. And so the devil loves that because that gives him some truth behind what he's saying. And that's the very thing that he uses. He'll use a little bit of truth and then he'll put a lie beside it, and you accept the lie because you know that the truth is right. And I'll tell you what, here tonight, every one of us, if we were to delve into your life and delve into your walk with God, we would definitely find fault with everybody here tonight, myself included. So I thought you were perfect, Pastor. I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint you tonight. Amen. I'm a dying man preaching to dying men. Amen. We're all clothed in the same body. Amen. And we are going to wrestle with spiritual things. And so here they are. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites. He saw the potential here of Israel to do great damage to his kingdom. And so he was sore afraid. And verse 3, Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Too often we are on the defensive when we need to be on the offensive. What am I saying by that? Too often we get in a defensive mode and we're putting up our shield and we're hiding behind our shield when in reality we're not the ones that should be afraid. The one that is really afraid is the devil. Did you know he's really worried about what's going on here? Did you know that he realizes the power and the strength of the church? The power and the strength of preaching? The power and the strength of prayer and fasting? He hates it, and there's nothing he can do about it. Amen. It's like Job. There was a hedge about him, and there was no way the enemy could get inside to hurt him. There is a hedge about us here tonight. There are angels encamped about this place. This is a place of prayer. Amen. And so the devil, the enemy of our soul, he will come up with a plan to try to destroy the people of God. The word Balak here literally means a waster or destroyer. That's what that means. He's a representation of the enemy of the people of God. And verse 4, Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak was the king of the Moabites at that time. Amen. And so the king of the Moabites, he comes along and he says, listen, he didn't say it where Israel could hear it, just like Pharaoh didn't say it where the children of Israel could hear it. They are more and mightier than us. Let us deal wisely with them. And so the enemy of our soul, he deals wisely. He's a sneaky old snake. Amen. I call him dirt breath because the Bible says God commanded that he would eat the dust of the earth. Amen. And so he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt, and behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I will prevail, that they may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot not that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." And that was Balaam there was not a child of Israel. He was a soothsayer, and it was known of him that if he blessed, it would be blessed, and if he cursed, it would be cursed. And so the king here got the one that had the authority, and it was his desire to use that individual for his purposes. Amen. The Bible calls Balaam in the book of Peter, actually the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. You don't have to go there, but the Bible says that he was a prophet. Amen. Or that he prophesied. He was a prophet. Just because someone is a prophet does not mean that they are of God. Well, praise the Lord. I want to help us here tonight because that which is esteemed highly of men is an abomination in the eyes of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, "There will be many that will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. We have cast out devils in your name." And he said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And so it is absolutely possible. And in fact, in John 11, 51 and 52, Caiaphas, which was a puppet high priest who was not of God and probably not even a Jew. Amen. He prophesied of Jesus Christ, and the Bible said that he prophesied. I'm telling you tonight, God can use anybody, and God will use those that are even ordained unto condemnation to bring about his purposes. And so what we've got to do is we've got to measure it by the Word of God. If someone is esteemed as a prophet and they go around cursing, amen, and putting curses on others and condemning others and criticizing others, amen, they may prophesy under the anointing of God, but I'm telling you what, it does not mean that they are of God. What is of God is that which blesses. If God wants to curse, we're going to let him do that. We don't have any choice in the matter. But we do have a choice in the matter tonight of whether or not we can bless others. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I want to bless others. I don't like what it feels like when you curse others. I want to bless others. I want to have a good feeling in my heart about others. I want to have a good feeling in my heart about my church, about the people that I pastor, about my pastor, about my brothers and my sisters. But we've got to understand tonight, there is an enemy of our soul, and he has to have an instrument to use because he has no power over the church. Well, praise God. He has no power over a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. He's got no power over you, and so he has to find an instrument or a tool that he can use to curse. To curse. And so here it is. And it goes on down to verse 5, he sent messengers to Balaam, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, so on. And in verse 6, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, he was a soothsayer, but he had a little bit of common sense. And he understood you could not fight God. And so before he, in the past, if he would curse somebody that was of Moab, that was no big deal, because Balaam understood the God of Moab is not really a God. And so he made money by doing these things, by his divination. But there was something in this man, Balaam, and he understood these are not just another group of people here. These are very special people. Praise the Lord. And I better check in with their God, because their God is real. And so he went to the Lord. He was very fortunate that he went to the Lord, because he said unto them, verse 9, it says, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, this is in a dream, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, this is verse 10, sent unto me, saying, behold, this is a people, so on and so forth. And in verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. I just feel like shouting here tonight. Praise God. Because we are not cursed, we are blessed. We are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed. Amen. And so he went back and told them what the Lord had said. And it says here, verse 13, Balaam rose up in the morning, said to the princes of Balak, get into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And they went back to Balak and said to Balaam, that he refuses to come with us. And so Balak sent again princes more and more honorable than they. Intimidation. Amen. There was a number of folks that needed to have this done, and you're the one that can do it, and so we're going to give you great honor. Verse 17, I will promote thee unto great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come and curse me this people. Can you see here the promotion here that they're attempting to tantalize him with? And you're going to be a part of us if you will criticize. You will be a part of our kingdom here, and you're going to be revered as somebody of great stature, of great resolve, because you went against the people of God. And I'll tell you, if I was Balaam, I'd say, well, why don't you go and curse them? Why do you want me to do this job? Why have you called me to go and to say these things to God's people or about God's people? Why don't you do it? But the devil is smarter than that. He knows that he can't do it, and so he has to use a tool. And so eventually here, he decided to go. God told him to go ahead and go, and he said, say whatever I tell you to say. And he rose up in the morning in verse 21. I think the Lord told him to go ahead just to see what he would do. He gave him an opportunity. And there's always those opportunities. And I've got to be honest here tonight and confess to you that when I had opportunity to bless, I have not blessed. There are times that I have not blessed when I should have blessed. Amen. And so he took this opportunity to go, thinking that he was going to get money and fame and prestige and all of those sorts of things. And the anger of the Lord, verse 22, was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass or his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Amen. I love this story. And a sword was drawn in his hand. And they're riding down the road, you know, hee-haw, hee-haw. And all of a sudden, hee-haw. Do you see what I see? I see an angel. He got a sword in his hand, and it's drawn. And he don't look too happy. And so there's the angel right there, and the donkey just goes. And Balaam says, "What in the world are you doing, you dumb donkey?" And he starts talking to his donkey. You can read it there. It's amazing when we get off track the things that we'll talk to and the things that we'll listen to. But sometimes those things that we look down upon, those old donkeys among us that say, "Well, bless God, I'm going to heaven." We say, "Oh, you don't even understand what's going on. You're not smart enough to understand what the trouble is here. We need to take this into our own hands and curse and say whatever we want to say." I'll tell you what, I would rather be one of the donkeys in the church. If I can see what God is doing, I'd rather be an old donkey. Amen. It don't matter what you say about me. And so he turned to the side, and he grabbed the rope, and he yanked his head around. He said, "Get back on that trail. What is in the world is wrong with you?" And so they went a little bit further, and they came to another spot, and there was that angel again. And that old donkey, oh my, he really got upset, and he stopped, and he pushed against the stone wall and crushed his leg. And he started beating the donkey. Got a whip out and started whipping him. And he said, "You dumb donkey, I'm trying to go somewhere and do something. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to curse, and I'm going to have a lot of money. And you're hindering me. You're standing in my way. Let me be that donkey that just stands in the way. That says I'm not going to be a part of this." Well, praise God. I'm just not going to be a part of this. I'm going to push you up against the wall, crush your leg, and go ahead and beat on me and rail on me. And the Lord used the donkey, and the donkey said, "Why are you beating me like this?" What did it sound like? When I was a kid, they used to have a thing on television. It was called Mr. Ed, and it was a talking horse. Some of you know. And he would talk like, and he would talk back to his master. And it was the dumbest thing on TV. I'm glad I don't have a TV. Some of the ignorant stuff. But I'll tell you what, the donkey started talking. "Why are you treating me like this?" And the man riding the donkey said, "Shut up. We're going somewhere. I ain't going. Have I ever done this before to you? Have I ever treated you this way, master?" Well, now that you mention it, I guess not. And he was so blinded, he was actually talking to a donkey. He didn't stop and think, "Wait a minute, this is not normal." But he was so caught up in his job, so to speak, he was so caught up in his truth that he was going to carry and say about cursing the people of God, he didn't even recognize that this donkey was talking to him. And so that's where some folks get down to the level of a donkey. Amen. And talking to the donkey. "Well, the donkey said this, and the donkey said that." You know what? I'll tell you what. I don't want to hear what the donkey has to say unless it's of the Lord. And all of a sudden, God opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel. He saw the angel. And the angel said, go ahead and go, but you better not say anything other than what God says. And so we go on here, and we go down to chapter 23 in verse 1. And Balak said, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 20 and through verse 25, God let him go, and the opportunity to curse others was there before him, and he went. And then the donkey situation, chapter 23, Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken unto him, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. And God met Balaam and said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, so on and so forth. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, verse 5, and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. The people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Read, Brother Charlie, verse 10. Well, praise God. Thank God for a man that would follow the will of God. And in chapter 24 and verse 1, he tried and tried and tried again. He took him to a high place, the place of pride, to look down upon the people of Israel. He got closer and closer and closer. You can read the story in these 3 chapters. He got closer. You know, from a distance, Garrett looks pretty good, but I get a little bit closer. Man, that hair's out of place right there. He's going to be looking in the mirror when he gets home. You know what? Look a little bit closer, I can find a little bit more fault. Yeah, well, I was talking to Isaac the other day, and he said thus and so. And I wonder where that came from. I'm coming to you. He didn't say amen every time I said something. And so there's a flaw here. There's something that's not quite right. But I'm telling you, we don't need to hear the voices of men. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear from the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he started prophesying in the last chapter here. Chapter 24, verse 1 through 25, he began to prophesy after he had blessed so many times. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, there's prophecy among us. Prophecy from God. There are spiritual things that God wants to do, miracles that God wants to do among us. Praise the Lord. There are high places that God wants you to walk, and he wants his church to walk. Somebody help me here tonight. And the only thing that's stopping it is that we're just not blessing. Before he prophesied, you read in there, he said, all right, he said, you blessed him now 2 or 3 times. He said, don't bless and don't curse. Just don't say anything now. And so the devil knows that if we curse one another, we're going to be devoured of one another. But he also knows that if we just don't say anything, that it's just as bad if we don't say anything. We need to bless one another. Come on, somebody. We need to bless one another. Praise God. Well, and Israel went on to the promised land. Eventually, we could talk about all the negative things, but hear me tonight. There were negative things in Israel. They were stiff-necked. They were rebellious. They went against God 10 times in the Old Testament. Stand with me tonight. They went against him 10 times. But when the opportunity came to curse and they went to God, what did God say? Don't curse them because I proclaim that they are blessed. Why? Because they are of the seed of Abraham. Look at the churches. Look at the churches, the seven churches of Revelation. Look at the churches. Well, let's just use one for example, Corinthians, the Corinthian church. There were things that were going on that was widely known that it was not right. Sexual impurity within the church. There was all sorts of things taking place. They had preacher religion where one said, I'm of Apollos and I am of Paul and I am of Jesus and I am of this one and that one and the other. But you know what? God did not. He did not cut them off. But he sent someone to bless them with the word of God. He told them what was wrong. He told them how to correct it. But I look further than the man of God. I look at God and see where God used him to elevate them to a place of blessing. When was the last time you blessed somebody? When was the last time you spoke well of someone? How do you receive it when people come and they have criticisms and accusations? How do you receive that? I'm telling you what, the Bible says this, that we should not receive an accusation against an elder. And that's, I probably shouldn't even use that. But I don't think we should receive an accusation against anyone else, but by a witness of two or three. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. Witness of two or three. And you know what? I've found that if I'm not a part of the problem and I'm not a part of the solution, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole because it's none of my business. It's none of my business. It's God's business. Do you believe that God's big enough to handle his church? Is the head smart enough to handle the body? Can it keep the heart beating? Can it keep all the bodily functions taking place? I believe that it is. God made it that way. It's a super computer that we have not even come close to matching. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body of Christ. He's the head of the church. He knows how to handle things. He can take care of things. He's just looking for the body to bless itself. Amen. There's some rare disease, and I don't even know what it is, but I heard about it, and it's where the body attacks itself, where the immune system will begin to attack itself, and it will attack an organ within itself, where sometimes, and we hear this all the time of cancer, that dreaded disease. We've been praying for Brother Scott. He's doing really well, and we're thankful for that. They thought he had cancer in his bone marrow. They did some tests, and they said there is absolutely nothing there. We're thankful for that tonight. Amen. But the body gets distorted, and it begins to eat itself. It begins to look at an organ and say, you're not worthy to be a part of my body. And it attacks that organ, and it destroys that organ, not realizing that by destroying that organ, you're destroying the whole body. Praise the Lord. What do? We don't necessarily all the time, unless they can do it, we don't cut off the foot and throw it away. We don't cut off a hand because we got an infection in our finger. I'll tell you what we do. We go to the doctor. We go to somebody that knows what they're doing and say, can we fix this? Because that end of my finger right there is important to me, and I want to keep it. It's a part of my body. It's a part of what God created, and I want to do the very best that I can to preserve that. You know what we are here tonight? We're the body of Christ. Every one of us here tonight are very important to God. It's not the will of God that you be cut off and thrown away. It's not the will of God that everybody looks down upon you because of this, that, or the other. Well, praise God. Bless and curse not, he said. Bless and curse not. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Everybody said good measure. Oh, I love to be blessed. Anybody else love to be blessed? I love to be blessed. Amen. But if I sow blessings, then I will receive blessings in return. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that will make us free, free from heartache, free from trouble, free from things that would destroy our spirit. Help us, Lord, to get a hold of the blessing that we should bless and curse not. That we should bless and curse not in Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord thanks and praise?